Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello! Good day to you, worthy friends. It is I, of course. Yes, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy. Sorry I wasn't able to get a show out to you last week. Had some things, some circumstances that kind of threw everything off and threw off my schedule of what I planned to do, and in fact, things aren't quite going exactly as I had originally planned, but that's okay. We're going to hear some audio from Chris Claremont, legendary writer of X-Men comic books. He was at Planet Comic-Con. I managed to sit in on his panel. I got some audio, and we're going to listen to it today, and I hope you're going to enjoy it. I figured now that, of course, X-Men 97, it has wrapped its first season. It was fairly enjoyable. There was some stuff that I was kind of like, I don't know that I like what they're going to be doing in the future with it, because, you know, it seems like they try to jump 20 years to try to catch up with modern X-Men a little bit, and I'm not really into modern X-Men. I was, you know, more into it in the 90s and, you know, some of the 80s. But, you know, it is what it is. It was what it was. I've watched it, and I kind of liked it, so I was able to watch and get through it, and, I was thinking about doing a full review, but I thought, nah, we'll just listen to Chris Claremont and enjoy that. But I do have a little bit of news for you and a couple of trailers for the trailer park. So without further ado, let's just make our way into that.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so the first thing I want to share with you this week is Liam Neeson and Zachary Levi are filming a movie together, an action thriller called Hotel Tehran. This, according to Variety, the Oscar nominee turned on-screen Avenging Angel is joining the previously announced Zach Levi in a new action thriller from Guy Moshe, or is it Moshe? I'm not sure. Cameras will start rolling in late summer. The rest of the ensemble will be cast in the coming weeks. Moshe says he's thrilled to welcome Liam Neeson to Hotel Tehran, calling him a true thespian and an icon in the industry. The character he plays, Larry, is a complex, irreverent, and inspired by real people. I know his fans around the world will relish seeing him inhabit this distinct role, and I can't wait to be there to capture it. And of course, you might be familiar already with Zachary Levi from Chuck and Shazam, and of course, being entangled as Flynn Rider. I'm a fan of his. He's a good dude. So I'm excited about that. They're not even starting to film it yet, but just from the casting, I'm in. I'm curious to see what, I don't know what this film is about, but I would like to watch it. Also, Variety says that there is a Max prequel series, Dune Prophecy, and they've recently cast a legendary Indian actress called, or her name is Tabu, and a recurring role. This was a series originally commissioned in 2019 under the title Dune, the Sisterhood. It's inspired by the novel Sisterhood of Dune, written by Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson. Now, Kevin J. Anderson, I'm sure I've heard of him before. Hasn't he written some Star Wars novels? Somebody let me know, like on the expanded Star Wars universe. I think he wrote some. I know I've seen something. Maybe he wrote some Marvel books. As you know, remember in the 90s, there were some Marvel books, there were Spider-Man books and stuff like that. Maybe that's where I'm thinking of him from. But his name sounds so familiar. So if you're familiar with him, let me know if you know anything off the top of your head of what he has done. And then Brian Herbert, I believe, is perhaps the son of the original author. No, I can't. The name Frank Herbert. There it is. Frank Herbert, of course, is the original author of Dune. And, you know, the series has kind of been continued since his passing. So you know, I don't know how good the stuff after his passing or whatever has been. I'm not familiar with this, but, you know, it goes on. Variety also says that Dune Part 2 has got a release date, Tuesday, May 21st. The day that I'm actually recording this, you can see Dune Part 2 on Max. I'm going to have to sit down and I'm going to have to watch the first one all over again, I think. And then I'll watch the second one. So looking forward to checking that out. It's definitely did very well in theaters. And so I haven't heard anything bad about it. Sounds like everything good about it. So I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out. Nicolas Cage, after voicing Spider-Man Noir, now is going to be playing a live action series on the MGM Plus Amazon Prime Video. Yes, a Spider-Man Noir live action movie with Nick Cage. I guess his age doesn't matter if he's in a mask the entire time. Of course, we'll probably want to see his face because, you know, he does some great faces. So interesting thought. You know, he's done really good, I think, voicing the character. So I'd like to see what they're going to do with the live action, if it's going to be, you know, kind of fun because of being with the animation and linking maybe to that, or if they're going to be kind of serious. Also, you've already heard this. Warner Brothers is going to have a new Lord of the Rings movie called The Hunt for Gollum. Peter Jackson's producing, and Andy Serkis, Gollum himself, is going to direct. Now, I'm not sure that I've seen anything that he has directed. He's a very talented actor. I don't know that I've seen anything he's directed. He might be a very talented director as well. I have no idea, and I'm not sure exactly what the storyline is that they're borrowing. The project is currently in early stages of script development from writers Walsh and Boyens, which is a good thing. That's Fran Walsh and Philippa Boyens, who, you know, did work on the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. So I'm sure there's going to be some faithfulness to the source material. Now, I don't know, you know, how much information that they're getting from the books. I don't know what else is going on. But there is still an animated Middle Earth movie called Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim, which is due December 13th. And that is set 200 years before the events of The Hobbit. So that, I think you can find some source material in some of the books. It's been a while. But yeah, there's some Lord of the Rings coming this year, and hopefully it's going to be good. Okay, for those of you that are fans of Diz Radio, maybe you've heard about this, or maybe you know that I'm a part of the Diz Radio Diz team. Well, you can win a personally autographed copy of Busy Betty and the Circus Surprise by Reese Witherspoon. She has signed a copy that Jonathan has gotten himself a hold of. He's going to announce the winner June 26th. Basically, once you go to the Diz Radio page, you'll find links even on our Facebook page, our group, to go over there and just click in there to the Diz Radio group and make sure you've liked it. Follow, invite, share. He'll give you some entries from all doing these simple type of things. He's trying to, of course, spread the word of Diz Radio. And yeah, you get a free autographed copy of a Reese Witherspoon signed book.
Another gator got in the house.
Another gator? Give me that
shovel.
Come here.
Oh. Get him off. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Do you want the Reading Rainbow treatment? Here we go.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high.
Reading Rainbow was not about learning to read. It was about loving to read.
I said, we will get kids reading more because they will watch Reading Rainbow and they will go get those books. Nobody believed us.
I thought, what a great idea.
Reading is a very fresh way to learn.
Reading Rainbow wanted children to know there's all kinds of stories out there, and while it may not be stories from your neighborhood, it's stories from a neighborhood you should know about.
Roll tape.
Ready?
We would all throw ideas in without worrying about how dumb they were or how difficult to achieve they were.
I did everything they asked. I mean everything.
Ow!
I became very adamant that since they had hired me, then what they got was me.
He wasn't talking down to you. He was talking as like, let's have this conversation.
It hurts when someone you love dies.
He was on TV as himself, and that's power.
Hi, everybody.
This is a book for you.
It was saying, your stories matter. Your voice matters, which means that I get to watch the show and say, huh, maybe I have a voice. Maybe I have an opinion. Maybe I have a story.
But you don't have to take my word for it.
Butterfly in the Sky, a documentary about LeVar Burton and the PBS children's series Reading Rainbow, which I'm sure if you're Gen X, you probably watched this in school, if not watched even on your own. This was one of like the big shows on PBS, you know. Somebody even in the comments here said LeVar Burton, Fred Rogers, and Bob Ross, the holy trinity of PBS. Well, I wouldn't say holy, but that is a trinity of PBS, but of course, Sesame Street, we would start out with Sesame Street and we'd be watching Mr. Rogers, then of course, Bob Ross and LeVar Burton. So this documentary, I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be somewhere for you to watch it. It's supposed to be available digitally. I don't know if that is streaming anywhere right now. It's been premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. But yeah, take a look around Butterfly in the Sky. It might be only a purchase only type of thing right now, but it might be streaming somewhere for us to view very, very soon. And I'd be interested in checking it out. I remember watching that show. I even remember when he started on Star Trek The Next Generation, he did an episode where he toured the set and showed how some things work. Another big movie, though, coming around, Martin Scorsese. No, not Martin Scorsese, but Francis Ford Coppola with Adam Driver and a, you know, pretty much a big name cast here. It's called Megalopolis, and it's kind of a I don't know how else to explain it, but let's just go ahead and play the audio of it.
When does an empire die? Does it collapse in one terrible moment? No, no. But there comes a time when its people no longer believe in it.
Don't let the now destroy the forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, welcome.
Is this society, is this way we're living, the only one that's available to us?
And when we ask these questions, when there's a dialogue about them, that basically is a utopia.
So this is described as a Roman epic fable set in imagined modern America. The city of New Rome must change, causing conflict between Caesar Catalina, played by Adam Driver, a genius artist who seeks to leap into a utopian idealistic future, and his opposition, Mayor Franklin Cicero, played by Giancarlo Esposito, who remains committed to a regressive status quo, perpetuating greed, special interests, and partisan warfare. Torn between them is socialite Julia Cicero, played by Nathalie Emmanuel, the mayor's daughter, whose love for Caesar has divided her loyalties. So, I mean, it sounds very interesting. I'm sure there's going to be some political discourse. I believe that they have premiered this at the Cannes Film Festival. We'll see. You know, I don't know what we've got for a theatrical release on this. I expect it will be out there very, very soon. I mean, it's visually striking because you do seem to have like a, the Roman gods being represented by statues, and some of them seem to move and do different things. So, not sure what all is going on with that, but I mean, visually very interesting. So Yeah, I'm curious to check it out, provided, of course, it doesn't get it slapped with an R rating for who knows what sort of content is going to be in there. But yeah, it looks very, very interesting.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey Ohio, have you heard the buzz? Slingers Signature Cocktails are the new go-to to go. Slingers are convenient, canned, cocktail-inspired flavored beverages that bring you delicious flavors like Bahama Mama, Peach Screwdriver, and Pineapple Punch with 8% ABV. They pack a punch at a price you can't beat. No time to make fancy cocktails? Don't want to break the bank on a night out? Slingers has you covered. Blast your taste buds, not your wallet. Grab Slingers today. American Fermentation Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
How's your con going so far? seems like the lines are there.
Well, my revelation this morning was I see all these people running around in shirts that say crew. And I thought, you know, if you spell that word backwards, oh, tells you what they're doing. Everybody's going, it's English, trust me.
This is like your fourth time?
If you say so.
I know I've done at least two other panels with you here, so.
Well, there was this thing the last few years.
Yeah.
You know.
But you're here today. That's what matters.
I want to come tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to start with a couple
They're
questions.
They're really playing tomorrow. It's really annoying.
I'm going to start with a couple questions, and then we'll open up to the audience. What I have found over the years is that Kansas City comes with some really good questions, so give that a shot.
And have guaranteed answers in the same, with the same degree.
Sure.
Eloquence, but
we'll give this on. We'll give this on.
Mind you, one answer will probably take care of 45 minutes right there.
I have only prepared like three questions, knowing.
My left side of the audience. Sorry, I just. 10 to the right.
From here, we're the right.
Okay, this is the side of Congress where they all jump up and down every 3 minutes. This is the grumpy guy side. I mean, I'm sorry, they were really grumpy. Dude, you're on television. You've got it at least. Show something to prove you're alive. And then you have the vice president proving her aerobic tendencies. I'm sorry, it's just like an SNL. Especially if you stay for the second act. Wear darker lipstick. See, I burn off time with enthusiasm. But as I told John,
it's your show.
We just did the Not Ready for Primetime Players Spider Team Up.
Marvel Team Up some
yeah. For those of you who don't remember, the Not Ready for Primetime Players were what SNL used to be called. They were good. So we did the team up, and I'm working at home, and Jim Shooter calls up one morning and he says, how soon can you get in the office? I go, because when a writer writes, to say the writer wears gotchies is sort of overdoing it. Because you're all by yourself and, you know, who's going to come into your apartment and notice? So he says, why? I say, why? He said, John Belushi will be here in 30 minutes. I said, I'll be here in 20. Fastest shower and taxi I got ever. And I beat him by 3 minutes. So that's the sort of crazy crazy ass thing that used to happen back in the day when Marvel was fun. No, the joke was I called him up. We were trying to figure out what to do in Spidey Team Up, and I said, you know, I'd love to do something totally off the wall, like Spidey teaming up with the Not Ready for Primetime Players, because this was SNL's second year. Yes, that's how long I've been writing. And so Shooter said, so give him a call. Call who? Saturday Night Live. Really? Comic book person calls somebody in the real world? Saturday Night Live in the real world. So I did. And hi, I'm Chris Claremont. I work for Marvel Comics. We do a book called Marvel Team Up with our primary character, Spider-Man. And it teams him up with really interesting people. Superhero characters, and we were wondering if you know, Lorne Michaels would be at all interested in teaming up Spider-Man with the Not Ready for Primetime Players. I'm sorry, who are you? I told her, and we'll get back to you. In that tone of voice, you know, we'll get back to you means. And the Shooter says, how'd it go? And I said, not well. So 10 minutes later, we're still talking, and the phone rings. He picks it up, and it's his secretary. Sorry, assistant. We behave properly then. And she says, Saturday, Lorne Michaels' office is on the line, on the phone. And yes, this is Jim Shooter, editor-in-chief, Marvel Comics. Yes, yes, Chris Claremont is a writer for us. Yes, he's sitting right across the desk from me. We were talking about our Marvel team-up. And we were wondering if you'd be interested in teaming up the You're Not Ready for Prime Time Players with our premier character, Spider-Man. Awesome. Okay. Hung up. 6 weeks later, we have a deal. I've always, you know. So the book comes out, and I got to go down and watch the dress rehearsals for about 3 weeks worth of shows, which is way cooler because they stop, they start, they get, and the dress rehearsals run two hours plus because there's stuff in them that's not considered, that they cut out for the show. And they can't screw around in the show because the show is live. And it was like the best thing ever. So I rush down to the office, and in walks Belushi, and we're all going, oh my, it's John Belushi! And he's going, oh my, it's Marvel Comics! And go figure, you know. Dave Cockrum's wife, Patty, comes in, grabs a yardstick. That's 3 feet long, for those of you who aren't metric. And she grabs it and assumes a position. So Belushi grabs another yardstick, assumes a position, and suddenly it's Samurai Comic Book Show! And he looks at me and says, oh, Chris, this was a really good issue. Like, oh, thank John, you have no idea how hard it is to write comedy. And he gives me this look. Something for everyone. How many? Has any of you seen funny thing happened on the way to the forum, but that's so 20th century. So, would you guys come down? He tells us, would you guys like to come down and see the premiere of Animal House tonight, you know, Friday? Never in your city. So we're all happy as clams, and then about an hour later his office calls, and they're really, really, really sorry. Apparently they've sold out Radio City.
Yeah.
You know, it's only 4,800 seats, but that's a comedy for six. Who fills up Radio City for a comedy Animal House? So yeah, screw it again. Welcome to comic books. Would you guys like to come to the after party?
Shared this with me, yeah.
So, we showed up there and we basically were giving out original pages to everybody, you know, to all the people from SNL. And when Belushi bought his new flat in the city, when they were doing a photo shoot, to show you how cool it was, one of the pictures has the two pages we gave him prominently displayed, I mean, just lying prominently on the table. Wow, that's cool. But that was Welcome to Marvel in the 70s. Can't get that. Oh, and the other thing was, they did it for free. I mean, that's it. The proceeds went to, went to charity. But we did it all for... Try getting that or getting away with that today. But this is so 20th century. And yet again, I've talked too much. You were saying, that's all right.
Well, speaking of stories, I have a lot of my Uncanny X-Men and Teen Titans. What was the story, how was it working with both companies at one time?
Well, we didn't work with both companies at one time. We were the better one. I'm honest. No, this was the deal. It was DC produced one book, Marvel produced the next, DC produced the third, Marvel produced the next. We were number two. The first one was Superman, Spider-Man, because you always go with the A-list. And yeah, it was okay. And then it was ours, and because it was X-Men Teen Titans, Louise Simonson was the editor, and I was sitting there pitching the core pitch, which was Darkseid, Dark Phoenix, Apocalypse Now. And, you know, okay. At that time, Walt Simon just happened to be walking by her office. I'm sure he and Weezy set it up. As I was saying Darkseid, and there's a beat, and suddenly he looks around, did somebody mention Darkseid? And the next thing we know, we had a creative team. Me, Walter, and Terry Olsen. Really can't do better than that. Though we did throw in Orzechowski and Linus Oliver just to, you know, make sure we were doing the A-plus list. That was it for me. And that was it. And we just plotted it. And of course, the Titans was edited by Len, so it was like everybody knew everybody, and everybody knew. Well, I didn't know much about the Titans, but Len certainly knew the X-Men. Still pissed off. But, you know, Wolverine was supposed to be a kid. Not the way Dave drew him. And you know the claws were in the gloves. Yeah, but that's boring. Oh, I couldn't say that one. And they were supposed to be, that's why he has those big housings on the back of the gloves. How you shrink adamantium into those, well, that's a whole different discussion. It's weird enough that they fit into his arm, and, hi, look at my 7-foot claws. Okay. No, they go all the way up to the, this is what I can't understand. You've got, what's her face? Girl Wolverine.
X-23.
Yep, I wonder what happened to 1 through 22. Totally different. And it's like, yes, I only have 2 claws on my wrists. That's nice. And I have 2 on my feet. And 1 on the back of my feet. I think. And how does that work exactly? You know, the claw retracts, goes up your... I mean, you have to have your foot at a certain... it's... But that's the reason, but he's 1 and she's 23. But, and we just knocked it together, and then like...
Never a dull moment in Kansas City.
Shut the dickens out. Trust me, if you change the word into something less... sort of iconic, you can get away with a whole lot more interesting stuff. Anyway, Len's problem was, you're supposed to have a Teen Titan going. Why don't you have a Teen Titan going? And fortunately, Weezy would let me answer it automatically, which was, are there any Teen Titans? Turns out we used the old guy.
Terminator?
I thought, isn't that Arnold Schwarzenegger? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm confused. Anyway, we used him. And basically it was, how can we put this all together? And we figured we'll do one revolutionary thing. What's her face?
Starfire.
It's like, none of this is a total surprise. Starfire, being from an extraterrestrial race, knows exactly who Phoenix or what Phoenix is, and especially Dark Phoenix, which is why when she finds out about it, she freaks out completely, which of course scares everybody else. And heroes don't fight. Heroes, oddly enough, what's the word? Oh, they're smart. Go figure. So when they meet, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, outer space, what does Robin do right off the bat? Hi, I'm Cyclops. I'm Robin. Shake hands. We don't have a 10-page fight, heroes against heroes? No. I'm sorry, if you're Batman's assistant, or whatever, and you're Scott. You guys are like, you know what this is all about. Oh, and besides, the old guy sitting on the wheelchair in the background is a telepath. They're all friends. We just let that one between the pass. It was fun. It was ridiculously fun. It was great. It was like, how many absurd giant panels can we get away with and tell a really, really, really good story? And, you know, treat them like not characters, but human beings. It's like, Kitty is shy. What's his face, the purple guy?
Beast Boy?
Beast Boy is like, you know, hey, cute kid. Why is Starfire kissing Robin? Seriously.
They were a couple at the time. Yeah.
Robin.
You know,
it's amazing tasting women.
Last time I looked, Sam Guthrie was deeply in love with this rock star thief. But apparently he's not anymore. Anyway, so, because actually we figured this out. If any of you are familiar with a map of the Northeast Coast, there's a city. At the top of the city is New York. And across the Hudson River is Newark. And as you move down the Jersey coast, you come to Gotham. Oh, no, you come to, sorry, Metropolis. And as you get a little further, you come to Gotham. So New York Harbor is, you know, you've ever been across the Gothel's Bridge? It's big. Not the Gothel, sorry, the Verrazano. It's not the Verrazano Narrows, it's the Verrazano.
Really big bridge.
That's how you get away with continuity. It's like, yes, they all know each other, they just haven't all met each other because, oh wait, in a megaplex of probably 15 million people, it doesn't happen very often. And let's face it, the kind of adversaries the X-Men deal with are not the kind of adversaries that the Teen Titans deal with. And let's, you know, and do you think the X-Men want to hang out with somebody who knows Batman? No. So, besides, half the time they're not even on it, so what the heck. But everybody knows everybody. It's like Darkseid, he's going to steal memories. He knows who to go after until Kitty wakes up, and then it's like, wah! I haven't looked at this book in 40 years. What a... And I talk way too much. So that's how we kind of put it all together, and then it came out, and the audience liked it. And then DC and Marvel got into a pissy fit, and it's never been reprinted since until this year when it's going to come out in the hardcover. Yes! Another way to get 150 bucks out of it. Please let me get a copy of it. Don't give copies to creators. You should go out and buy your own. You don't pay that much anymore. Oh, you just have to work hard.
Well, speaking
of... By the way, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Thank God.
Speaking of working harder, there was an announcement that came out this past week talking about the new X-Men book starting up in June.
Oh, I thought it was about the State of the Union.
And I saw your name in the credits. What's it like going back to the X-Men?
When did I leave? Well, how can I be tactful? But seriously, going back to the X-Men is fine. Figuring out which X-Men and what continuity is interesting. If anyone's been reading my stuff the last few years, it's all basically structured within a specific continuity, i.e. the 16, 17 years that where I was outselling everybody. Not that I'm making a point. I was outselling everybody. But, you think that would count for something, but no. So, they call up, I write. Hopefully I write well. The giggle is that when Marvel took an experiment and said, here, Chris, do X-Men Forever. What if you hadn't been thrown off the X-Men with X-Men 4? What would have happened next? And gave it a shot, had some fun, went in some interesting directions. The problem is when you're competing with 11 plus other mutant-oriented titles that are all integrated, that are not cheap, and the readers have to get every one. I mean, you're talking a couple of $100
easily.
Want to buy this series that isn't related to anything other than the fact that you like Claremont stuff? Oh yeah, no, I want to, I really do, but I've got to get all this other stuff because otherwise I wonder what the hell's going on.
And then you get the crossover events that add another 30 books.
Oh, you mean the first 5 months of Krakoa? And I'm sitting there reading Marauders because I think a book starring Kitty Pryde named after the villains that almost killed her makes perfect sense. There just wasn't enough money. I mean, this still isn't. But to have to read, I'm reading the Marauders, and I get to this cliffhanger where, oh my, what happens next? I pick up the next issue. Where's the cliffhanger? Well, apparently it ended three titles over to the left. That's great. You mean I have to buy basically all these books to know what's going on? Yes. You are aware that I earn my money, right? That I work for a living, that I have obligations? Yes. Not the comics? What? Sometimes it's too complicated. Sometimes the best. I came from an era where your responsibility was the book you wrote. You make it the best possible book you can. And if you're lucky, you can spin off something, and you can write that too. But to integrate everything is like, not an efficacious way of moving ahead. It's basically a way to make it easier for readers, A, to not attract new readers, and to, as you go, give your current readers every conceivable excuse to not keep buying the book, when ideally it should be, buy the book, love the book, tell your friends. It's like, oh wait, he sold 100,000 copies this year? Yeah, pretty long. Let's try and sell 200,000 next year, okay? And then everybody goes home happy. But that is so 20th century, I'm sorry.
All right, let's open it up to the floor here. If you've got a question, I'm going to ask that you stand. Let us know your name and ask the question right here.
Let's have fun. And then I figured I'd try something even more daring, which was, wait, I have 5 issues. How many stories can I tell in 5 issues? So suddenly, well, we'll do 1-parter to wrap up the old continuity, and then we'll do 2-parters just for the hell of it. And, you know, my ambition with that, as with pretty much everything I write, was it'll be good enough, but more importantly, it'll sell so much that they'll want to give it, approve another one. Sadly, I learned the real response to that is doing that, dude. No, it's just, it was fun. I love Gambit. I love World. I figured, you know, the monsters were really great monsters. And, I, you know, yet another time for a poor woman in a Claremont book to fall in love with a hero and end the series not as well. She was as well off, she just didn't have the looks she started with. But of course, then I could wait, and I could do a series of intergalactic marshals with them, with her and her mom, and also one of the rare times where her middle-aged mom gets superpowers. Well, I'm sorry. Why is comics so kid-centered? Why can't grown-ups have fun, too? So I figured what the heck. And, you know, but it was also a chance to give you a look at Remy's reality from the kid's perspective, which is she's scared stiff. Because if he goes off with his girlfriend, what happens to her? Well, we have to get her back to the X-Men because that's the next issue in a continuity that Jim Lee and I had. But they were on their own for quite a while. I figured, wait, it's got to be long enough for her hair to grow from a buzz cut to the bottom of her back. So how long would that take?
2-3 years.
Oh, well, she's a mutant. We can speed that up. I could still string it out for a couple of years of stories. But, you know, it's... At least the 5-issue was fun. And one can keep one's fingers crossed. Oh, sorry.
We'll come back over here.
Honored to meet you, sir. I just wanted to ask you a question. You got X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
You got X-Men Days of Future Present. If you ended up writing on X-Men again, you're looking at Days of Future.
Did I do Days of Future Present? I don't think so.
That was an annual crossover, I think.
How many times can we have Cyclops possessed by the Phoenix? Dude, you do understand. Here is highest authority. Step down a half step. Yes. There's the Phoenix. Yes. Step down a half step. Yes. There's the Phoenix's sweetie, the short guy. You don't mess around with the concept of omnibus. And for those of you who haven't been hanging around my table, I will tell you a secret. Okay. Here we are. It's like Kitty's working at the Princess Bar outside the University of Chicago. She loves it. But there's, every night there's this shadow in, you know, in the corner who's very nice, has drinks, but basically engages in conversation and has a pitch for Kid, for Pride. What is it? Come on, take the deal. Be the guardian of forever. Nah, I'm sorry. I've got to clean the bar. No, come on. You'd be good at it. What, are you in a sorority or a fraternity? Why can't I get a good look at you? Some things aren't meant to be seen, just felt. So finally, after an unspecified but extreme amount of time, she said, all right, for sakes, thank you. Well, congratulations. Wait, sakes was not me being alliterative? So this is her and Rachel's third time around the wheel. You start at the beginning, you go through about 100 billion years, the universe comes to an end. But on the last day of the universe, there's Logan. He's been sitting on this rock, which is orbiting on a little planet that's orbiting. Yes, I did swipe for Xperi for this. Antoine de Xperi. Go look it up. And waiting for the sun to go out. And over here is this little door, and the door opens every so often, and Kitty comes out with dinner. She and Lockheed and Wolverine have dinner, and they chat. And what's the news of the day? And Kitty tells him the news of her day, and then she asks Logan the news of his day, and he says, we orbited the planet. He doesn't mind. He meditates. And because I'm feeling garrulous, way over on the horizon is this bump on the horizon. If you were in the distance, is this bump on the horizon, which if you went over would be this giant, giant figure of a ruined TARDIS surrounded by a fence, which is the property of the British Broadcasting Company. No trespassing allowed. We need new Clement. Just putting it in context. So finally, as the sun is reaching its last moment, a bright light appears next to it, almost like the sun's light is being absorbed by this new light, and it descends down, and of course it's the redhead. And, you know, she and Logan pick up where they left off, and the sun goes out, and it's dark. And because it's my fantasy, it's about 7 seconds, and then the James Bond theme sounds, and light reappears, and the universe is back to life. And Pride looks at Lockheed, and Lockheed looks at Pride, and Pride shrugs and says, oh, here we go again. Because that's my cosmology. Yes, it is a circle. It begins with Logan and Jean, it ends with Logan and Jean. Which is why in the present day, Jean loves Scott passionately, even though he screws up every other moment when I'm not writing. I follow Stan's lead, you know. And Logan loves Mariko. But at best, they're going to last 150 years, and you have the rest of eternity to deal with. So it's just, you know, perspective. They're both, in their own little way, stellar beings. Arnold didn't think that was a good idea. That's why I'm me and they're them.
How about a question over here? Right here, Richard.
So, one of the things that I spoke with you about yesterday was...
it was a lie.
The filler, not the filler, but the flight, what I call the flights of fancy issues in between, like, the darker storylines, like the slumber party right after the human bear, and there's several other times through your run where you take the X-Men and you kind of have a little fun before we get to the next super dark thing. Was that a conscious decision on your part? Was that part of the way of cleansing the palette in between stories? Just curious on your thought process.
Are you at all familiar with this writer from Avon, Bill Shakespeare? If you notice, every comedy has characters and a significant scene involving tragedy. And every tragedy has characters and a significant scene involving comedy. Because in the midst of everything, you do need an alternative. On the other hand, when I was doing this, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, yada, 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 the kids did homework. It was a school. They had responsibility. Oh, wait, somebody has to clean up after dinner. You have to clean your room. You have to do this. You have to do that. Find me anyone on Krakoa in the last 4 years who went out shopping, who tidied their house, their allotment, whatever that is, who went to school. There are mentions of school.
The closest thing I can come to it with it is early on in the run, there was a double-page spread of them at the bar, and like,
which is always
a amount of characters in it.
Oh, I've seen it on Star Trek in the whatever it is, Ready Room.
Yeah.
You know, at least Patrick Stewart's Star Trek. They all go down and hang with Guinan and Tom. It's
I'm sorry. When I read something, I want people that at least marginally kind of look, forgive me, like you guys, that do things, you people, I should, sorry, that, you know, go out and find, go to the store, you go, you make your beds. The whole point of Marvel, as opposed to DC, was Peter Parker earned his living for, he squawked. Come on. He had to pay the rent. He had to, you know, sell a picture to Jonah because Jonah will pay him $25 and that will help pay the rent. That was the key thing with Marvel. DC was nothing but millionaires. Tony Stark got drunk a lot, which is a great story arc. But the difference between A and B is that it was a recognizable analog to real life. And regardless of how good the stories might be, Krakoa had a very challenging analog to real life. Nobody went around in real clothes much. They all read to me, and I grant you, I'm a very specific audience. Like, ideals. These are Marvel superheroes. They live on Krakoa. And occasionally you'll have, depending on the artist or the writer, you'll have a scene where they meet, you know, all the diplomatic representatives come to Krakoa. They can't come to the island. They have to land on Emma's little bitty pieces off the island. I could never figure out why Krakoa was forbidden and those bitty pieces weren't. Why Kitty tries to go through the door, the gateway, and smashes her face. You know, their accidents will happen, but why? It's like, and then, well, never mind. That's just, it doesn't exist anymore anyway, so why should I care? But hopefully the next iteration will be more realistic, because that, for me anyway, as a reader, sadly going back a very, very long way, that was what made Marvel cool. Everybody, they acted like they dealt with real world stuff. And DC rarely did. And there were so many at DC cool opportunities, like Superman wanting to bring Takeaway over to a young, this is from Sovereign 7, you know, girl moves into Manhattan, he helps her correct, you know, stock, collect furniture for her house by doing what everybody else, a lot of other people of that age and income status does. You go dumpster diving, and you can find some really good furniture. But, so he picks up Chinese food from like Beijing, or Hong Kong, because he's Superman and can get away with that sort of foolishness. Comics should be fun, if for no other reason to counteract all the tragedy. If you don't do fun, you don't fall in love with the characters, and if you don't fall in love with the characters, then Dark Phoenix makes no sense. And I have to say, I say that speaking as the person who made her get away with it in the first draft. But it was only when Jim came in and said, you really can't kill 5 billion people and get away with it. And the smartest week, boo, I broke too much. We just got 5 seconds. But that's, you know, which led me to the story I should have come up with in the first place, which is she dies at the end. But you can't kill Jean Grey, right? Like, they'll kill us. No, you can't. Because why? Because that's reality. Welcome to reality. Bringing it back, and that makes it comic books. And, you know, once you do it, what I could never understand is The characters all die. Well, they resurrect them every week. You know, you bargain for, like, resurrected as of what time? And the question I kept asking myself is, I'm sorry, who programs this? Who's running Cerebro to do this? You know, if you can get resurrected, why should we care? Because it means nothing. And there's no risk. And, but that's, again, that's me ranting about something completely different.
One last question, or two?
Yeah, lady right here with the braids.
Hi, my name's Peach. I'm freaking out to be in the same room with you. So thank you for everything that you've done. Do you ever, when you're crafting your stories in your heart or your mind, is it ever a concern for you how specifically academics or people who are critically analyzing their work are going to see it? Or is that something you leave away and just are glad that that happens?
When I started, it was like, oh my, they're buying a story. Or let me put it this way. One of the first stories I wrote, Roy Thomas walks into the room, and all of us flunkies are hanging out, you know, after work, it's like 5:30, quarter six. He has a handful of artwork. And his line was, basically, this is late, the writer screwed up, I need this turned in tomorrow before 8 o'clock. Who wants it? And I got my hand up first. So, that means I have to script 17 pages and get it turned into the office by 8:30 in the morning. It's a test. Yes, it's a test. Because if you don't do that, if you get it in by 9 or 9:30, you go to the back of the pack. This is, you know, I have an assignment. Can you do the assignment within the deadline? Boom. That's the rule. What will academics think of this in 30 years? Screw that. I got to please the editor, right? Was it really cool to get 150 letters about the death of Phoenix? It was very cool. The death threats were interesting. Because Frank and I were comparing notes. You know, I killed Gene, he killed Electra. NYPD said, one of you get a shot at, well, let us know. You don't think about that. You think about, I'm going to write the best story I can, so that all of you people will think, this is really good. I'm not going to buy that stupid comic. I'm going to buy this stupid comic. That's what it's all about. And you want to come back, you want next issue to sell more than this issue, and the issue after that to sell more. Yes, it's a business, but I'm not. My job is to entertain, but make it something that you're learning and interested, and you fall in love with these characters better than I do. And then complain to me about all the stuff you think I'm doing wrong. And I'll just nod politely and say, well, I'm only responsible for the 100 panels you see. What happens between the panels? I know what happens between the panels, and I'm, you know, basic god emperor of these books, except for the editor. But it's your imagination that can play with it. You can figure out, wait, no, Chris, you should have gone this direction. I think this character's really cool. Why is the writer so stupid that he doesn't see that? I'm so much better than him. Welcome to the world. That's what it's supposed to be. It's an interactive romance between me and the characters and you guys. And you shouldn't buy anything out of habit. You should buy it because you love it. Because everybody's done their job right. And the characters are worth it. The last thing anyone should do is say, and me included, is because this old fart is sitting up here and saying, this stuff's really good, you gotta buy it because I put my heart and soul into it. If you read it and say, eh, then I haven't done my job. And that's a fair, I can be heartbroken and pissed off, but that's it. But if you pick it up and go, this is, guts, but it's cool. What happens next? Bingo. And then you should go out and tell all your friends, because I liked it when we sold, when we canceled books because they didn't sell 100,000 copies. It's fun to sell 500,000 a month. It's more fun to sell 8.5 million a month, but that's a whole different concern. No, last thing, you can throw us out. What I wanted after X-Men 1 was, and I still thought I was on the book, I wanted to get to X-Men 12 and still sell 7 figures, to still maybe sell 1 million, because that to me was, we've changed everything. We've made these, it's not fan people, it's not like fan people who want to, I have 100,000 copies of X-Men 1. Yeah, there's like 8 million more to go. I want them to say, I love these characters, I love this art, I love this writer. What happens next? That's what it's all about. And it's a love affair. And I want to make sure you're all happy. And I want to work my ass off to make you appreciate and justify that form of love. Otherwise, what? That's the point. Sorry, I do talk too much.
Okay, well, it's time I wrapped this show up. And so, of course, we want to remind you, of course, about, I said, of course, twice, Podgagement. When you'll find that at neverlandpodcast.com. You can find links for Dubby and Podgagement. Both are sponsors of the show. Click on the links in there and get a nice discount on Dubby for your energy drink powder mix that you can just mix in with water. Great energy for gaming without giving you the jitters. Podgagement, if you happen to have a podcast, you may be able to get your reviews from around the world sent right into your email. It's a great service, and it's always expanded. Daniel J. Lewis is adding new things all the time to this. And Podgagement is just a great product and everything, and I use it myself, which I could use some more reviews. In fact, you'll find links there and around the Podgagement where you can send us some reviews. It's been a while since we've gotten any. I know you're out there. Let me hear from you. If you haven't already written us a review, and make sure you're sharing the show with others. If you're having fun, then share the fun with other people. Let's grow this show back into something, because it really shrunk down, and I want to bring it back. I may not be a celebrity, you know, making a big celebrity show, but this grassroots show has been going on for 11 years, and we want to just keep on trucking. We do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show. They helped me out, of course, with the introduction. Don't forget, you can email us, podcast at neverlandpodcast.com. We are on X or Twitter as NeverlandPcast, also on Facebook. I think I've changed it over to the Fandom Nexus, but look for a Neverland Podcast if you need to. We have both a fan page and a group. I don't think I've changed my links here on my show notes. I think I did look at that. I don't know that it has changed. I mean, it's still it's a Fandom Nexus when you look at it on Facebook, but if you go for the links, it might be under Neverland Podcast. So just do a search there and you'll find us if you're not there already. There will be links in the show notes, though, which I think I have updated those. Don't forget, of course, that you can donate through Patreon, patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. If you become a donor there, you can get a special RSS feed that will allow you to hear the show without those ads that I have to place in there because, you know, I have to pay for this show. And also on Red Circle, you have the exclusive club right in there. You can jump right on in there and also get an exclusive version of the episodes that are ad-free, other than, of course, my sponsorship that I mentioned myself. But you won't hear those ads at the beginning, the end, and in the middle of the show. Alrighty, so I hope you all had fun this week. Hopefully I'll get something to you next week. I mean, this is kind of a difficult week here with Memorial Day weekend. It also happens to be my birthday and my anniversary all this weekend, so I'm not sure if I'm going to get anything recorded. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll try to get you something out there for next week. I do have plans for some shows coming up and some new ideas that Philip has kind of been helping me out with. So we've got a lot of fun coming in the future. So stick with us. But until then, as we say at the end of every episode, get lost in an adventure, and we'll see you next time.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.